You can hold the song right now. Good evening. Try that again. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, that's good. Yeah. Well, I just want to say thanks to all the parents and grandparents and guardians that sent their kids to Bible school. We had an outstanding week this week. We had 74 kids come, and it was just a boatload of fun, and we learned a lot, and we're going to share with you tonight some of the things we learned. And so that's all good. But if you've never been here before, we have a talking piano. And so when it does this, we stand up, if you're able, okay? And when it does this, you sit down. And we won't put you through any more torment. We'll stand up and we begin, we begin each day at Bible school by doing a number of pledges. And we start by pledging our allegiance to the American flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we sing a salute song. Let's hold it high.
Our country's flag we salute today, the dear red, white, and blue. The emblem of the land we love, we pledge allegiance true. God grant you might to uphold the right and keep your purpose high. Till Christ the King his kingdom brings in that wondrous by and by.
We also pledge our allegiance to the Christian flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe.
Yes.
Our Savior's flag we salute today, the colors proudly bear, the emblem of our Savior's love and the kingdom pure. Subjects be, but lives both pure and true, and of our King with gladness sing, winning others to him too.
And now we pledge allegiance to the Bible.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I'll make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. The Word of God we salute today, the Bible tried and true. To God's own book we will ever look, for the light our fathers knew. Oh, may we faithfully read and pray, that like thee we may grow, and others think to Christ the King, that they too his grace may know.
You guys did great. Thank you so much. All right. We also start each day with a morning prayer, and so why don't we just do that now. Father, we're grateful for just the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he loved us when we were unlovely, and he proved it by going to the cross of Calvary and dying in our place and paying for our sins so we could have a full and a free salvation. Thank you for this week of Bible school and just the children and the good times that we had and what we learned. We thank you for all the teachers and helpers and undertaking for safety and the weather, and may this program now be honorable to you, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Who's my theme song holders? Every year we try to pick out a theme song that communicates some truths about the Word of God. This one is called Creation Sings, and it reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the creator of all things, just obviously, Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And so this song reminds us of that. It also reminds us that he loved us, and he sent his own son to reconcile man with him. And one day he's coming back to restore everything. And so we have three stanzas here. Feel free to sing along as you figure out the song. What we have here is a name bag, and so every child that came to Bible school got their name placed in the name bag, which is an appropriate place for their name. And every day we learned what we call a thought for the day. We learned three of them. We learned one on Monday, one on Tuesday, and one today. And they're designed to have pictures that communicate an important biblical truth. And so every day we drew a name out of the bag, or actually several names out of the bag, and if they could say the particular thought for the day, they got to pick a prize out of the prize box. So we're going to do that tonight. And so we're going to pick a name out. If they can say it, they get the prize. And Ron, I'm going to trust you to pick out a name that's not yours. Ron Coos, no. Alexis, is she here?
Right here.
Alexis, wow. Whoops. Can you say this one?
Salvation is a free gift, but you must accept it to make it yours.
Yeah. All right. The second one was a little tough, but they got it. Let's all say it together, gang. Your life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to God. Uh-huh. And this one we learned was the easiest one ever, and there wasn't any shortage of volume when it was recited.
If you don't know, you don't go.
Pretty simple. So, Alexis, you get to see Mrs. Lachlan after the program and pick out a prize. So good for you. Yes. And so one of the reasons we do this is, and in fact, this is one we picked this year because it's really kind of cool. You see the word salvation here, and it's in the form of a gift box. And what a lot of people don't realize is that salvation is a free gift. When I was growing up, I was kind of under the impression through my religious training that somehow or another, if my good outweighed my bad, I'd have a chance of going. And as I grew older, I realized that the scales weren't actually going very well. And that's the reality. The reality is that we're not as good as we think we are. In fact, the Bible is very clear that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that there's actually none who does good relative to God's perfect, holy, righteous standard. And I was under the illusion that somehow I could pay for my own sin, that if I did enough good, that would cancel out my bad. But that's impossible because we've all done more bad than we've all done good. And that's a concept that's really not found in the Bible. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you're saved through faith." And notice, it's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. And it's not of works. Otherwise, we have reason to boast. You see, there's no way we can remove our sin. All the good works in the world don't change the fact that we're a sinner. And they don't remove our sin. And that's why we needed a Savior. And the Bible calls Jesus Christ the Savior. And a Savior, by definition, saves. And so he, being God, became a man. He left heaven, became a man, and he came for the express purpose of saving mankind whom he created and loved very dearly. Romans 5:8 tells us God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I grew up understanding that there was a cross that Jesus died on, and I heard growing up even that Christ died for my sins, but I didn't understand the significance of that and what it really meant. I mean, why did Jesus have to die? I often wondered, why didn't he just yell down from heaven, "I forgive you, people"? Why did he actually have to go to the cross and die? And the reason is because God has a justice system. Like this town we live in, if you break a certain law, you have to pay a certain fine. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the payment, if I were to make my own payment for my sin, it would cost my life. And in doing so, there'd be no opportunity for me to be saved then, because I'd have to give my own life to pay for my own sins. And this is where the love of God and Jesus comes in. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. And the difference between you, me, and Jesus is he never sinned. He was God, became a man, lived a perfect life. And in love, he decided to go to the cross and die in your place and mine to pay a debt he didn't know, because we had a debt we couldn't pay. And that's amazing love, isn't it? I mean, if you were to make a list of people you're willing to die for, chances are it's not real long. And yet Christ loved us so much, he died for everybody. And so on that cross, when the hours of 12 and 3, when the whole world went dark, Jesus Christ took upon himself your sin and mine. In fact, he called up the list of sins of every person that has and ever will lived. And when he was on that cross, he cried out the words, "It is finished," in John 19:30. And that means paid in full. And so Jesus paid in full the sin debt that we can never pay. And God accepted his payment because he rose from the grave. And because he lives forever, he wants to give as a gift the same life he possesses. And so it's like any gift you've ever received. If you've received a gift, I ask the kids this. You know, did you have to pay for the gift? Well, kids, do you have to pay for your own gift?
No,
someone else paid for it. And did it cost you anything?
No,
it was free to you. And that's how God offers salvation. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. In fact, you can never pay for it. The price is far too high. Only God himself could pay the price of our salvation. And like any gift, when you even think of your parents, when you give a gift to your children, you've spent the time to either make it or provide for it or pay for it. And it gives you great joy when you offer to them and they receive it. And God is no different. As a heavenly father, he is at infinite cost to himself, sent his own son to pay for a gift called eternal life. It's on the table, and what he wishes for everyone is to say, I'll take that gift. And that's why, though salvation is a free gift, this side says you must accept it to make it yours. See, any gift could be rejected. You could offer someone a gift and say, no thanks, or I don't want to take the gift. I want to be worthy of it. I want to earn it. I want to do it. I want to pay for it myself. And in doing so, they're rejecting the gift. Trouble with this kind of concept, though, is salvation is a gift that you don't want to reject. If the consequence of sin is so great, and it is, the Bible says we're separated from him forever in a lake of fire, God wouldn't have bothered to take the time to send his son down to pay for a gift if the stakes weren't as high as they are. And so we taught your children this week that salvation is a free gift, and we encourage them to make a choice to accept it, and we're doing that to you here today. It's free. You don't have to tip the waiter. You don't have to change your life. You don't have to do anything, because all your sins have been paid for through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the good news of salvation is it's been paid for, it's free, and the question is, will you accept it to make it yours? And that was the message we clearly and often communicated with your children this week, and we were privileged to do it. So thank you for that. And so, with that, we're going to have the youngest class come up and share what they learned this week at Bible school.
Hi, my name is Angie Gustafson, and I had the pleasure of teaching. We had 10 kids in our class this year, in the youngest class, and four came tonight, or five now, so, I had helpers as well, Angela Adams, Vicki Lefebvre, and Whitney Kuza, and we had a really engaged class. Like, they were really thoughtful, and they asked really good questions, and it was really fun, so. We learned God's plan for the ages, creation to Christ. So we first learned about how God created the earth by speaking everything into existence, and how God's attributes are seen through creation, and how all of the days of creation point to God's perfection and glory. And then we learned about how God created the first humans, Adam and Eve, and how the people were different from any other thing that God created, in that he formed them from the earth and he breathed life into them. So Adam and Eve made a choice to disobey God, and that brought sin into the world. And we learned about how sin separates us from God. So now the kids are going to sing their first two memory verses for us. When Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, they brought sin into the world, and God promised that one day he would send a redeemer who would take care of the sin problem forever. About 4,000 years later, he not only sent a redeemer, but he became the redeemer because he loves us. So he took care of it. Jesus was born and lived a perfect life without sin. He performed many miracles, which proved the people around him that he's God. We learned about how some people did not believe that Jesus was God, and they put him to death. This was a very sad day, but Jesus willingly did it because it was God's plan for the redemption of mankind. And we learned that Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and proved that God was satisfied with his payment for sin. And now Jesus is in heaven preparing it for us. So the kids will say their third memory verse, 1 John 4:10, and then they're going to sing a song about heaven, which includes the last verse of the song is their final memory verse, John 14:6. So
We're going to share with you some of the songs we also sang this week at Bible school. Here's one. Come on up, young man. You can help me with this one. This one's called Salvation, and it's a Bible school favorite. It's one of mine I've known for a long time. Let's sing it together. Back up a little bit so everyone can see. There you go.
Salvation is a big word, but I am
welcome to attempt them. Lizzie's going to come up and just show you so you can follow her lead. The song's based on John 10:9. Jesus himself said, I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, he shall be saved. And so there's one door to heaven, and it's Jesus Christ. And let's do the hand motions, kids. Next song.
One.
Everyone, faster. We're going to do it faster. Let's do it faster. Hey, good job. At this time, we're going to have the 6- and 7-year-old class come up and share with us what they learned this week. Do you want to do this? Genevieve, you want to do this again? Kind of try to have an audience participation song, so help keep your blood going during this program. And this is called I'm Going to Sing, and so Genevieve's going to hear demonstrate what you do. You can try to do it from your seat. Just try not to poke your neighbor's eye out as you do it. And let's see, Alexis, come on up and help me. You can stand over here. It's called I'm Going to Sing.
I once was lost in his day.
Going to have the 8 through 10-year-olds come up and show us what they learned this week.
Hi, my name is Jill Lachlan, and we had 21 students enrolled, and our amazing class helpers were Mrs. Curtis, Mrs. Resch, Mrs. Rupert, and Mrs. Bowdie. So a record number of verses were memorized, and we truly had an exceptional group of children. It was really a delight to have your children at VBS this week, so thanks for sending them. God did many miracles through the prophet Elisha. He was a blessing to those he served. And in many ways, he was a forerunner to Christ. He was an instrument to bring salvation, even to individuals that were Israel's enemies. We saw how holy God is and that he must judge sin. But in mercy, he also meets his own righteous demands through the person of his Son. His grace and love comes to us freely now by Christ, and many examples of his mercy was shown in Elisha's day. So now we're going to share with you a short portion of the many exciting events of the prophet Elisha's life. Unfortunately for Elisha, life as the nation's prophet wasn't always easy. After he saw his master Elijah taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, some scoffing teenagers met him on the road.
I pronounce a curse on you in the name of the Lord.
We learned that we too need salvation, as we cannot match God's holy, righteous character set forth in Psalm 5:4. For you
are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you.
Most of Elisha's life was characterized by showing great care and kindness to people. Once a widow had a problem.
Give me your money, or your sons will be my slaves.
The widow came to Elisha for help. And then she said to her neighbors and sons, then she went behind the door and shut the door. And God did a miracle. God filled all of those jars, and she sold all the oil to pay her debt. God showed his tender care for people outside Israel also through a little servant girl who was taken as slave by Captain Naaman and his wife. But poor Captain Naaman, he had the dreaded disease of leprosy. Our sin is a lot like leprosy. It starts out small and then spreads and can't be cured except by God's divine intervention. From Elisha's day to now, God's remedy has always been freely available to any who would take his salvation by faith. So remembering her God and having compassion on her master, one day the little servant girl exclaimed, so Naaman got a letter from the king of Syria. So then Naaman set off for the land of Israel to find a cure for his leprosy. Naaman ended up bringing gifts of gold, silver, and fancy robes, thinking he could pay for his deliverance. In fact, it was $100,000 worth in today's money. When the king of Israel finally received the king of Syria's letter on Naaman's behalf, he became completely undone and stressed out.
What am I, a god? What am I, a god? Can I kill and make me alive?
Alive again. Alive again. Can I kill and make alive? So eventually, Elisha got word of the king's predicament and Naaman's need, so he sent for him. Well, thinking he would have a quick hocus-pocus cure and some grand welcome, instead, just Elisha's servant came out to meet him, and Gehazi told him to... Well, this seemed ridiculous to Naaman, and he was enraged. Finally, his servant persuaded him. So, after much thought, Naaman finally humbled himself. So Naaman dipped down one time. Audience participation, 2, 3, 4. then on the seventh time,
look at my skin. My skin is as soft as a baby's. It's healed now. Praise God.
Then Naaman spoke to Elisha. Have them all back up. Titus 3:5 says,
not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us.
And just as Naaman had to believe in the cure offered, so we must believe in the solution God provides for our sins to be forgiven. Revelation 1:5 also reminds us that it's only through Christ's blood shed for our sins that we can be made clean and fit for God's sinless heaven. Revelation 1:5b says,
to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
From Elisha's day to now, he is a faithful God willing to walk alongside us in all of life's difficulties and deliver us from all our fears. Salvation has been promised and guaranteed through Jesus Christ. Do you know your sins are forgiven? We hope you do. The end.
Who wants to help me with this one? Come on up, Lena. Here's another song we had the privilege of singing this week. It's kind of a bouncy tune called Jesus is My Answer. If you figure it out, feel free to sing along.
Jesus is my answer, what a friend of he. God's beloved Son who died on Calvary. He makes my meaning, and I want to share the love of Jesus with my friends everywhere. So I will come to him and talk of him and follow in his way, grow in him and live my life in service every day. Walk with him and talk with him and faithfully obey. Use my talents for him, read his word and pray. For I know Jesus is my answer, what a friend is he. God's beloved Son who died on Calvary. He gives my life meaning, and I want to share the love of Jesus with my friends everywhere.
Thank you. All right. Now we're privileged to have the 11th and 12-year-old class come up and share with us what they learned this week.
Well, hello. My name's Nick Rupert, and I had the privilege of teaching the 11 and 12-year-old class this year with some excellent help from Jesse Schutte and Chrissy Eisenhanger. We had a good-sized class. We filled the middle classroom of 14 students here over the past 3 days, and they were just a wonderfully engaged group. It was really a pleasure to have them, so thank you for sending your kids to Vacation Bible School this year. Our lessons this week in our class were on the book of Joshua, and the character of Joshua is a man who fully trusted God and his word, and even when given the intimidating task of leading the nation of Israel or bringing them into the promised land or conquering the city of Jericho, diligently sought God's will and faithfully obeyed God's word, even at times when perhaps the reasons and the why and the timing of all these things didn't necessarily make sense, yet he fully trusted God and found God to be faithful. We also saw in God's character that he's a God of comfort, a God who's faithful to encourage and provide and sustain our every need, and that doing his will, his way, is always best. So, and we're privileged to have the kids share some of what they learned here this week for you.
We first learned that after Moses' death, God chose Joshua to lead the nation of Israel into the Promised Land. This was a huge task, leading what may have been more than 2 million people with all their possessions and livestock into a new land where they would have to fight many battles against strong enemies and fortified cities. But God had taught and prepared Joshua for this task. He had learned this importance of fully trusting the Lord and his word, and had seen God deliver the nation out of Egypt and through 40 years of wandering in the desert wilderness. And with his new role as a leader of the nation of Israel, God encouraged Joshua to be strong and very courageous, and that God would be with him just as he had been with Moses. Our theme verse for this week has been
Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is the one with you wherever you go."
We learned of God's faithfulness in protecting the two Israelite spies sent into Jericho from capture. God used the unlikely person, Rahab, and though she lived an immoral life, God honored Rahab's faith. She trusted in the God of Israel, knowing he was the one true living God. She knew that God was giving the land to them. God honored her, and for keeping the Israelite spies safe, she was promised that if she would mark her home with a red cord hanging from the window, she and her family would be protected during the Israelites' attack on the city.
But Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him."
We saw that God is able to provide exactly what is needed, exactly when it is needed. He provided exactly what Joshua needed to lead the nation into the Promised Land when he miraculously stopped the waters of the flooded Jordan River to provide safe crossing for the whole nation of Israel as they walked across on dry land. Just as they, when God divided the Red Sea for the previous generation of the Israelites when God delivered them out of Egypt. Waiting on God for his perfect time, well, in his perfect time is worth it.
Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
We learn that God alone is able to fight our battles when we trust him and are willing to do his will, his way. His plan for defeating the city of Jericho may have seemed like foolishness. The Israelites silently marched around the city once a day for 6 days, and 7 times on the 7th day, and then to blew some horns and shouted. But God provided the victory for Joshua and the nation of Israel. On the 7th day, at the sound of the trumpet, shout of the people, the walls tumbled down. and easily conquered the city, God kept Rahab and her family safe. The Israelites kept their promise to Rahab, providing her and her family deliverance from the destruction. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it."
See, I need a fifth grader. Who wants to help me? All right, Murphy, come on up. You were? You mean you don't want to help me? Scary thing to stretch when I'm looking. You might get picked on. This is a great song. It's called the Boys and Girls Assurance March, and it reminds us that because of the God promise of God, those who put their faith in Christ, they have absolute assurance that when they die, they'll be ushered into heaven to meet their Savior. Here we go. Let's back up a little bit. Can we know that Jesus saves us? Can we know? This time, the oldest class is going to come up and share with us what they learned. I had the privilege of teaching these young people. We had 18 kids in our class, and we had Mr. Adams and Mrs. Linnea Schmitz help us this week. And we learned about a promise orientation from God. When you believe God's promise, fear goes away. And when you don't, fear dominates, and you make a poor decision. And so they're going to show us that now.
This week, our class was learning the importance of trusting the Lord and His promises in the midst of difficult circumstances. If we keep our eyes on our trials, we will become fearful. When we choose to trust the Lord and His good and gracious plan, we will have peace. We learn that because of God's character, that his promises cannot fail, and he cannot be anything but faithful. Therefore, we do not have to be fearful in life, but rest in him. Here is an example from the Bible where the Israelites were terrorized by their circumstance, even though God's promise was clearly stated.
Long, long ago, in a land near Canaan, the Lord said to Moses, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." So Moses sent 12 men to spy out the land and bring back some of its fruit. When they returned, they gave a report of what they saw. So the Israelites lifted their voices and wept through the night, complaining against Moses and Aaron, saying, the Israelites were ready to stone Caleb and Joshua, but then the Lord appeared to Moses, saying, "How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me? Even with all the signs which I performed among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them."
Well, the Lord heeded Moses and had mercy on the Israelites, but not without a consequence. Because they rebelled through disbelief and decided not to trust the Lord after he repeatedly kept his promises, no one but Caleb, Joshua, and the Israelites' youngest children were allowed into the promised land. Let's see an example of someone who trusted in God's promises instead of their fearful circumstances.
Once upon a time, in the kingdom of Israel, far, far away, there lived a handsome yet humble boy who tended sheep named David. During this time, the Israelites were in battle against the Philistines. As was the custom of the day, David's father sent him to the battlefield to bring food and provisions to his older brothers. While he was there, a 9-foot Philistine giant stepped out and yelled at the Israelite army,
"Who dares to fight me? If you win, we will be your servants. But if you lose, you all will become our slaves. Ha! I defy you this day!"
When David heard this, he was outraged, asking the Israelite soldiers,
"Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I shall go fight him. The Lord will deliver me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine."
So David went to battle without any armor or weapon except for a sling and 5 smooth stones. When Goliath saw this, he exclaimed,
"This is all you got? Ha! Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelled of elderberry. You will die this day."
But David boldly replied,
"You come to me with a sword, into my hand, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
And with that, he put his hand into his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck Goliath in the forehead. The stone sank so deep that he fell on his face to the earth. David finished him off with Goliath's own sword. David won.
Yay!
Yay!
David was more concerned with God's reputation than his own. Because God honors those who honor him, he allowed David to win the victory that day and many battles after that. David had the peace of God and was filled with tremendous courage because he trusted in God's promise rather than be afraid of the giant that stood before him.
Well, we're going to bring our service to a close here, our program to a close. I want to invite you and encourage you, if you can, we've got some refreshments in the back that you're welcome to stick around and enjoy. And there's plenty there, so you can do it. Carson, you want to help me hold this song? We're going to sing one more song before we dismiss you, and it's called Our Wonderful Savior. And I invite you, if you're able, to stand, and we'll sing it together. I'm going to stand back a little bit, buddy. Thank you for coming. With that, you're dismissed.